Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. There's much that is written in this chapter. If you've never read it, I would encourage you to read it. We're looking at the beginnings of the church. And what a joy it is to see the power of God there. We're going to start in verse 41. Our focus is going to be verse 42, but we're going to start in verse 41, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter, just several verses. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word. By the way, have you gladly received the word of God?
Amen.
Have you really?
Amen.
I hope and pray so. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, I want you to notice something. It isn't God, excuse me, it isn't mankind that builds the church. God does. We are His tools to be used, but God builds the church. Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would speak to us. Help us to glean from your word this morning how you act. Lord, we as a fellowship here, we are looking for your guidance, for your leading. I pray that you'd speak to every heart. And if there is one here that is not truly, truly born again, they might come to know you. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to mention just a little bit on what happened this last week in Florida, but this is not going to be the focus. It's so sad to see these things happening, isn't it? And immediately there are those that would come out and they blame a particular situation. They blame guns. And I'm not going to get into that argument this morning. But the fact of the matter is, immediately, accusations, suggestions, opinions, everything flies. You know, I like what A.W. Tozer said. Everything's wrong. Everything is wrong until God sets it right. And through Jesus Christ, God has set everything right. Through Him, through His shed blood, through the work that He can do in the human heart, God sets it right. The only problem is that mankind has decided that he knows best how to set things right. I read a list, and I was stunned. I could not believe it. There's a list that somebody put out of so many, the majority of these young men and men that have committed these mass murders and the drugs they were on. This last week, the young man in question was on a psychiatric drug. Why? To help him cope with life. You know, there are some people today that are having a difficult time coping. That, by the way, is part of the reason why we've been doing the series we've been doing on Wednesday night. because people are not being able to cope, they have anxiety, they have anger, they have discouragement, they get into habits, they get into addictions, because they can't cope. So I get to listening, I get to reading this list. And I mean, we're talking Prozac. We're talking Ritalin. We're talking antipsychotic drugs. We're talking about antidepressants. Do you know that young man that was on one of these drugs this last week in Florida, he said he was hearing demonic voices. And those voices told him how to kill these young people. Now, I want you to stop and I want you to think about it. There's a company called Solvay Pharmaceuticals. They put out a drug called Lovox. They conceded that in their short-term controlled clinical trials, this isn't a rumor, this is a controlled clinical trial, 4% of the children, 4% of the young people that took this drug, by the way, that's one out of only 25, that's one out of 25, developed mania. We're talking about a violence-prone mentality. You take that drug and you mix it with some of the violent games, the video games that these young people are watching, where life is devalued. And oh, by the way, they see people on the media, in the news, that are arguing, hey, it's abortion is not murder. It's just a mass of cells. And my soul, what in the world do they think is going to happen? What's going to take place? By the way, this Lovox, one of the young men that did the killing in Columbine, that's what he had been taking. That's why I bring that up. Do you know, brethren, that America is the most medicated nation on earth? We are the most medicated people on earth. May I remind you what the Greek word that translates sorcery in the Bible is? Pharmakia. Does that sound familiar? To help people out, we have absolutely kicked the door open to the devil himself. I told you about the pastor that I know of through Jim Benny that went to his doctor. He was having difficulty, and this doctor medicated him. And sadly, he over-medicated him. You know what happened? The pastor saw Satan. Do I believe it happened? Yes. Because this is spiritual warfare. What did that pastor do? He fell to his knees before the wicked one. And for 2 years, he was hearing voices. Just like this young man. And in fact, when he finally went to see Jim Benny, the voices got louder to the point that they were screaming at him when he came up the driveway. Don't see this man. Run away. Get out of here. You don't want to listen to what he's saying. That's exactly what they were telling him. And he began to answer those voices with the truth of God. It took 3 years for the voices to go away, but they eventually went away. Is the spiritual warfare real? Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a nation that is trying to control its sin-induced depression. Folks, this is what we're sitting in the middle of. Why do you believe that a large group of so-called intelligent people sat down in a building not even a half hour from here and decided that what we really need to do is we need to legalize marijuana? Well, you know, it's no problem. I mean, after all, you know, I remember when I was a kid back in the 60s, you know, and it wasn't that bad. May I remind you that in the 80s, and I don't know where it's gone now, but in the late 80s, the marijuana that was being smoked then was 1,400% more potent than the marijuana from the 60s. And I don't know where it's gone now. And I've got news for you. You get into that, oh, I'm using it to maintain, you know, there's pain that I deal with. Once again, we wind up opening the door to the wicked one rather than to the holy one. Now, by the way, do I believe that drugs can be used for good? Yes. Drugs are helping me. I don't take much, but drugs are helping me right now with my blood pressure. But I'm not smoking dope to help it out. Boy, that would be an Listen, I'll never forget. In fact, a couple of you were here. Larry, you were here. Kathy, you were here. I'll never forget when I had a kidney stone in the kidney that I had eventually taken out because of the kidney cancer. And we were starting our missions conference with Pastor Ron Allen. And I had just passed a kidney stone the night before, but I wasn't sure about it. And I thought, oh boy, what am I going to do? I know. I'll take a Vicodin. No. One won't do it all. I'll take two Vicodin. And I got in the pulpit and I lashed both hands right here and I looked at all the people out there at that time. I think we were running about 160, 170. And I said, folks, I want you to know I am feeling really good right now. What a way to start the service. And no, I'm not going to try it again. And Roger, neither can you see you, so don't ever give it a shot. When our Lord was here, He gave us several things. Now, please listen. He gave us a possession. That's eternal life. He gave us a possession. He gave us a promise. He would send His Holy Spirit. He gave us a place, the local church. And He gave us a pattern, the Word of God. And the pattern that we're going to be looking at this morning is the one that is found in verse 42. But I want to make a couple of statements first. The combination of those four entities that I just spoke of, those four things, that place, that pattern, that promise, that all combined gives us all we need to live godly in Christ Jesus. That's all we need. The problem is, as a nation, we have turned our back on that, and even Christians can wind up being tempted to go that direction. That's why we're going to cover what we cover this morning. We're going to be looking at, and I'll get into the details later on, we're going to be looking at the possibility, actually we're going to try it, temporarily at least, taking our evening service and bringing it to the early afternoon. Now I want you to know, I come to this with fear and trembling, and I'll tell you why. This isn't my church. This is God's church. We do not change anything to make it easy on us. As you'll see, there are some benefits, I believe, in doing so. But I want to be right up front and say this. If at any time I believe that the change that we make begins to hurt this church, we're going back. Because I've got to answer to God. I've got to answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to go again, if you would please, to Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. Can I remind us, this is a sacred thing that we do here. Did you hear what I said? It's sacred. It's set apart. Sunday is the Lord's Day. The world, guided by the wicked one, has done everything they can to attack those who partake of this when it comes to the Lord's Day, coming together as a people, worshiping the Lord. They've tried everything they can to belittle it, to bring distractions, and those that desire that, no, this is set apart to God, they mock it. They've mocked Hobby Lobby and Chick-fil-A for being closed on Sunday. I'm sorry, that's drop-dead wrong. I mean, you know, there's so much. Why do you think football, professional football, is played on Sunday? Well, because it's the best day. Why is it the best day? See, and by the way, again, with everything going on, I praise God for everything that has been said, you know, by certain players in the Philadelphia Eagles. I praise God for that. But I still say NFL stands for not for long, because it's coming apart, because they have not placed God first. And for that matter, it's the same thing with the Olympics. It's the same thing with other sports. It's just sad, because we made a God out of it, and God's not going to bless that. He's not going to. Sunday is the Lord's Day. Acts 20, verse 7, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Now, I really like the last part. Ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. So, A, we come together on Sunday. B, Roger gets to preach till midnight. But again, Satan's done battle with it. But again, seriously, because, you know, based on the Word of God, Sunday is the day for worship, fellowship, preaching, and teaching. Don't forget it. This is when God's people come together. Now, by the way, in countries, for instance, like China or other places where there's real persecution, what if they gather on another day? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But we just recognize this. God has given us a day set aside for Him. So, in all that we're doing, we are here to promote fellowship, to promote involvement, and to help some who cannot come out at particular times, for instance, at night. We are looking, bottom line in all this, we are looking to be used of God to build His church, not whittle it away. Please don't get this wrong. If we make this change permanent, we will do it for this reason, that people will find it easier to be all in. We'll wind up having times when we can sing extended time, when we can extend it, listen to His voice at one time, and on and on. Now, there is a possibility that we'll look at this and we'll say, you know what, we're just going to do this once a month. I don't know how the Lord's going to guide. But again, go to verse 42 if you would. As I was studying this, I came across John Phillips. I like the way he broke down this verse, so I'm stealing somewhat his outline, and then I'm putting the meat in. First of all, as he points out, when they came together, the time was marked by truth. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. When they came together, the Holy Spirit was there, and they heard what the Lord brought back to mind to the disciples, who are now dispensing what they had seen and heard, and eventually would be put down what God wanted in the Word. But the doctrine, the word doctrine simply means teaching. When we open up God's word, we're not giving an opinion. It's thus saith the Lord. People say, well, you know, I don't know. You know, I really think because I went through such a show. Can I encourage you on something? You do not interpret doctrine by experience. You start with doctrine. And then in the experience, you realize that God is faithful. It doesn't matter what you initially think about it. Well, that sounds blinded. No, it's not. It opens up your eyes. So what we have is teaching, pure and simple. One of the ways that we can know that somebody is truly converted is they have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. By the way, that was what the Lord said, hey, this will bless you. This is what it's all about. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. But I want you again to understand this. Here were these people. They were in rough seas. Not only was Rome against them, but now their own people are against them. Families have turned on them. Friends have turned on them. But listen, it says they continued. Can I ask you something? What stops you from serving Christ? What stops us from worshiping Him? The NFL? What stops us? You see, we need to focus on this. We need to focus on the fact that God gave us a day because, quite honestly, we need to stop, slow it down, bring ourselves together and say, you know, I need Christ. I need His Word. I need the fellowship. I need the prayer time together. I need it. That's why they continued. Yeah, but you're going to go home and they're going to threaten you, but I still need it. Yeah, but you don't understand. You're going to lose your job. Yeah, but I need it. But wait a minute. Do you realize you could be put to death? I'm already dead and I'm alive in Christ. That's what it's about. That's absolutely what it's about. Secondly, it was a group of people that were marked by the tie. First there was the truth, then there was the tie. The tie that binds. Look at this. The fellowship. John would write later on in 1 John 3:14, we know that we've passed from death unto life because what? We love the brethren. Listen, the body of Christ is a mystical body, but it is still a body. There is something that ties you and I together when we have trusted Christ as Savior. I remember when I was in the military coming to a Christian I had never met before, and it was like old home week. It's the very same thing when you're out in the world, when you're in construction. It could be, there are those that think that this talks about, you know, communion. It can, just like the next statement. But really, it's about coming together. It's us not only singing together, but us speaking together, talking together. Listen, Christians, when they gather together, they have things in common. They have the same hope. They have the same joys. They have the same hatred. What? For sin. They have the same enemies to contend with. They have the same subjects to think about and to talk about. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? Hey, hasn't the Lord been good to us? By the way, hasn't He been good to us? If you don't know how He's been good to you, the fact of the matter is you've been walking through life blind. I mean, I still, you know, I look at my wife and I think, my soul, I can't believe I still got her. I can't believe it. You know what I feel like doing, honestly? You know how a new product will come out and they'll say, hey, this is the best. And then it winds up, brr, you know, and it goes belly up. I feel like calling the pacemaker company and going, have you had any problems with this thing? Because seriously, she got one and it had only been out 2 or 3 months. There's a box in our bedroom. It's got to be within 10 feet of her. when we go to bed at night. Because the thing talks to her pacemaker. And you feel like you want to listen in. You know? I'm having problems, you know. But I get to thinking about it. That thing right there, if it went belly up, her heart stops. That's it. But I look at her and I think, praise God. You know, thank you, Lord. You know, there's people here that have gone through some real difficulty. Mike Hale was just in the hospital. So was Sean. There's other people. You know, you wind up having physical challenges. You wind up having challenges in the family. You see, when you're in Christ, these things happen. Sometimes you wind up having questions that come to you because you've got a target on your back the size of Montana, and Satan goes after you. We have the same enemy. So we come together. That's the fellowship. They were marked by the table. They continued in breaking of bread. Again, in several people that I read, they said, well, you know, this is talking about the Lord's table. And then other people say, well, really, it's also talking about just common getting together. The Jews would eat a very thin bread, and it's kind of dry, and you could literally break it off and you could hand it to people. I believe it deals with both. Not just the coming together and eating, it's also a thing when we recognize what the Lord has done for us. But then it was also marked by the throne, because you see, they came together and they prayed. They came together and they prayed. And you know something? We need to pray. You know, I, again, and the sad thing is, I don't want you thinking, well, this, you know, this is politics. Folks, that building over there is one of the most neglected mission fields in this nation. I'm telling you right now. Now, praise God, it's starting to reverse. There was a liberal Democrat that was just trusted Christ just several weeks ago. I don't know what at all has been happening there, but I know the person that led him to Christ. Boy, makes you want to step in front of the devil and stick your tongue out. There are people around here that need us, though, as well. They need prayer because they struggle with addictions. They struggle with being able to see this. By the way, Christians struggle too. And this is why I've really been praying about this. What we're proposing is not a thing, is not a thing of making it easier on us. What I'm looking at is this. When we come together on Sunday morning, too often we wind up coming in here, and we might do a little bit something, you know, unusual, but we wind up coming in here and we sing, we receive an offering, you endure my preaching or whoever, and then gone. That's not Acts 2:42. I'm telling you, that is not. So what I'm looking at is this. By God's grace, I want to do something that is going to promote the other things. There are people in here, you don't know other people in this church. You need to know them. Because whether or not you realize it, you've been brought into a local body for a reason, and you're there to encourage each other. Am I right, Pastor? We're here to encourage each other. There can be somebody sitting over here that can encourage somebody over here because of what they have been going through. So we need the fellowship. Not only that, we need the prayer time together. As has been said before, too often in the local church, the prayer meeting is the redheaded stepchild in the family. It's just not all that important. So this is what I'm envisioning. Possibility. Starting 2 weeks from today, we come together. What I need is two volunteers, just two ladies. I don't want a whole troop of people going over there. It's not going to be, oh, I'll bring all this food. No, 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 no. Listen, you know what we're going to have that first Sunday? Hot dogs. We just, the church buys them. We boil them. There we are. You go over there after we're done here. We go over there and we fellowship. And we're not in a hurry. We're going to take time. We're going to eat slowly. We're going to talk. And then there's other things that I would like to do. At about 1:15 to 1:30, we would start the second service. Most of the time, we'll stay over there. And this is what I see. Stuff like this. We'll have a question and answer time about the morning message or something that was taught in Sunday school. We'll have question and answer. Secondly, we'll have people share some things that God has worked with. I got two young men in the teen high school class, in the teen class right now. They're going to share each about a 3-minute message on what, you know, what they want to share. By the way, we need to encourage our young people, and all God's people said, so we'll do things like that. There will be a message. I will bring a message. We'll have prayer time. Because there's not a person in this room that doesn't need prayer. And there's not a person in this room that doesn't need to pray. Now, this is going to take cooperation. This is going to take people being all in. This is not a thing to cut your time short. Oh, good, I'm going to get it all out of the way. That's not what this is about. And I believe that people that come on Sunday night recognize what's taking place here. Now, one of the side benefits, obviously, is this. We've got some people in our church that have a difficult time driving at night. They can stay. Praise God for that. There will also be some people that'll make it kind of difficult, and I'm understanding that. There are people because of their work schedule. There were times that they couldn't come except at night. I've already talked to the Topola family that sits here on Sunday night, and they said, yes, they can make it here. After they go to their Russian-speaking church, they can make it here by 1:15 or so. I don't want to lose them. There are other people. Brother Alfred Dekila, he winds up, you know, there's times that he can only make it at night because he works at night, so he comes to the evening service. I want to keep my eye on that. I do not want to make things more difficult for a group of people. I'm just going to see how it happens, how it takes place. But it's going to be a different kind of a service over there. There's going to be more communication. There's going to be more give and take. But see, in reading Acts 2:42, that's exactly what I see. And I think we've lost that. Because, again, we got into this idea. I come, I sit down, the guy with the beard talks, I leave. There, check mark, I've done that. Okay, maybe I'll come tonight. I come in, we sing, the guy with the beard talks. Check mark, I'm gone. See you later. I'll see you next Sunday. That's not biblical Christianity. That's not. So if we're going to do this right, we have to be all in on it. And like I said, if I see that this is hurting the church, we're dropping it. And again, it could be that we wind up doing a thing, we'll say, you know what, it's nice, but maybe we just need to do it once a month. Okay, we do it to the first Sunday of the month. But I'd like to try it. Actually, it's not going to be 1 month that we're going to try it. It's going to be 5 Sundays because the 5th Sunday is going to be Easter Sunday. And so we'll do it then as well. we will have the Lord's table here, and then we'll go to eat there. Now, ladies, I need some help on this, on ideas. I'm thinking hot dogs, I'm thinking soup, I'm thinking basics. Maybe some of you could bring your own food. Please don't bring stuff that you've got to go over and bake for 35 minutes. I don't want a bunch of people going over to the kitchen. If that starts happening and it continues, the kibosh is on. You can bring a sack lunch. You can go, if you want to, I don't want you to, but if you want to, you know, go over to Carl's Jr., but bring it back. Buy enough cheeseburgers for two more people. But this is why I'm doing it. I just want you to know. I talked to Chuck Coffey yesterday, and he loved it at the church that they were at there in North Carolina. But they changed pastors. The new pastor came in, said, "We're going back to an evening service." Okay, but he said, "Man, it was great." They're loving it over in San Francisco. There's other churches that have done this. I want to do it because I want an Acts 2:42 church. Now, we can do it without moving the service. We would look at different ways. But I like this idea. All right? Now, I know that probably some have some questions right now. Let's wait until 2 weeks from today. Talk about that. But folks, forever, as long as the church is on earth, the focus is Jesus Christ. The focus is not the schedule. The schedule is the slave to the goal. The schedule is that which we use to bring us together in an orderly fashion to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Don't ever forget that. That is what it's all about. That's why we're not an entertainment church. We don't have a rock and roll band, and we don't have a whole lot of side stuff to try to draw people in. Hey, it's like we have in the thing that we hand out for visitors. At least I think it's still in there. I put it in there. Bible preaching, Bible teaching. Pure and simple. That's where it's at. All right? So that will be 2 weeks from today. Would you do me a favor? Would you be praying about it? Because I want to see God's people blessed. I want us to have a situation where we say, "Hey, come on over at 12:40, at 12:15, 12:30 to our church. We're having lunch. Come on." Everybody likes to eat. Anybody here, you don't like to eat? Okay, I thought so. Why? Because A, we're Americans, and B, we're Baptists. That's a double whammy right there. You know, we've talked about everything that, or some things that have gone on in our nation. I can't stress, and I'll close with this. I can't stress the importance of the local fellowship enough. We need each other. Listen to a few things that's starting to happen in our culture. There was a Fox News article this last week about what took place on the ABC show The View. Not exactly a staunch Christian-promoting situation. Joy Behr suggested that our national vice president might have a mental illness. She said this, "It's one thing to talk to Jesus. It's another thing when Jesus talks to you." By the way, how many of you love it when Jesus talks to you?
Amen.
Media outlets, the article went on to say this, media outlets and social media critics immediately piled on not Behr, but Pence, with many of them putting the worst possible spin on his faith and his prayer life. In other words, the media despises us. When NBC sports commentator this last Super Bowl, Tony Dungy, who has a tremendous testimony for the Lord, came under fire for commending Super Bowl most valuable player Nick Foles of the victorious Philadelphia Eagles on his faith before the game, and for calling Foles, I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce his name, his faith a significant factor in his confidence and performance against the New England Patriots. Dungy's remarks were met with a wave of outrage on Twitter, on Facebook, and so forth. The first response was a critic who tweeted, quote, "Unbelievable you would use your employer, NBC Sports, to spout this nonsense on the air," unquote. Another one tweeted, "Does NBC want you preaching on air?" There was another article entitled "Christian Shaming," on Christian shaming. There were these people, again, on social media, who mocked evangelicals, who called on our nation to pray in the aftermath of the shootings in Florida. They've mocked it when it comes to natural disasters, events that have unfolded. You just stop and think about it. You're just trying to avoid the issue. No, we're not. We're trying to get to the one who is the only one that knows what to do with the issue. Tim Tebow. Remember Tim Tebow? It's amazing how he was criticized for taking a knee and thanking the Lord. And then Kaepernick comes along, and he's a hero to our young people. There's a Greek term for that. Garbage. In 2016, and this saddened me. In 2016, there was a report on religious liberty titled, listen, Peaceful Coexistence, Reconciling Non-Discrimination Principles with Civil Liberties. The chairman of this gathering, Martin Castro, argued that Bible-believing Christians employ the phrase religious liberty as a code phrase for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, Christian supremacy, or any form of intolerance, unquote. By the way, about the Christian supremacy, he's right. Christ is supreme. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. He's Lord. He's Lord. I saw a picture a couple of weeks ago. People were trying to make focus of this sign that somebody was holding. My eyes didn't go to that one. My eyes went to the one that was right behind this person. It said, religious liberty equals Christian terrorism. That's exactly how the world is beginning more and more to see this. You see, this is why I'm thinking not only do we need the preaching, we need the fellowship, folks. What you have, this person or this person over here, we need to share what we've got. And in fact, they need to hear from you. We can do that when we're eating. Yes, we can do it here as well. But there's an excellent setting for fellowship. So we're going to give it a try. But I'll guarantee you, folks, whatever we do, we need to make it, Christ-focused, Spirit-led. I believe that there are people here in this room right now that still, you know, there's this attitude inside, what's the big deal? All you need to do is you need to read the Bible and look around in history, recent history, and see what happens to people that name the name of Christ. That's all you need to do. Fellowship, worship, Obedience. That's what it's all about. Let's pray.